having any of it. I mean, he was like, you guys can dance. I'll just hang out up here. Wonderful. All right, do we have a video? No, okay. All right. So I had a small video to share, but it looks like it's not going to play. Little 30-second clip. Maybe you've seen it, and I can maybe just describe it to you to jump into our message. You've seen maybe the little video snippet of the little sheep that is running, a little lamb that is running down a ditch line. They free the lamb and then pull it up by its leg, and then it just runs down a few yards and jumps right back into the ditch and gets stuck again. You may have seen that, but it's pretty hilarious. That is often a picture of us as the Lord's people, as His sheep, as His little lambs, that we often get free, or we learn a lesson, and then, you know, we take two or three steps forward, and it seems like we're right back into the ditch again. But the Lord is gracious to us. So we're going to look at Psalm 23. This is part of our Summer in the Psalms series. We're highlighting a few psalms that the Lord really shows us His character in. And how can we not, you know, have a series in Psalms and not do Psalm 23? We must include Psalm 23, perhaps the most famous of the Psalms. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into the message. Lord, You are our shepherd. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our great High Priest, our eternal King, our Sanctifier, our Healer, all of these things. We look to You, Lord, and we pray right now that You would bless the proclamation of Your Word. I know my own weaknesses and limitations, and I need You. I need Your Spirit to work. I need You to produce fruit in our lives. I need You, Holy Spirit, to come and conform us to the image of Christ. I can't save or change anyone, but Lord, You can. And You can grow Your church, and You can build Your church, and You can reach out to those who truly need You here today. So wherever we are at, wherever You find us in our own individual faith walk, in our own journey, I pray that this word might be a help and a healing to our hearts and our souls. We look to You, we trust in You, in Christ, to all Your name and glory we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask a question, and we're going to look at Psalm 23 to help us find the answer and to help us move forward, but maybe two questions. How are you submitting to the leadership of the shepherd? Or maybe not how are you submitting to the leadership of the good shepherd, but are you submitting in general to the leadership of the shepherd of your soul? He knows best for us, right? God knows best. He knows what we need when we need it. Oftentimes we pray, we journey through life, we have questions, we have doubts, we have fears, and a lot of times, and I know this is true for me in my own experience, we may be going through a certain trial or a situation, and I think, God, if You could just do this, if You could just do A, B, and C, it would make things a lot easier for us, or if You could do it in this time frame. But we learn very quickly throughout life experience that's not how God works, right? Or we think if we could just kind of wear the God hat for a day, maybe we would run things a little bit differently, if we're honest. And we have those lingering sort of questions and echoes deep in our soul that have to really do, not with what God does or how He works, but really the character of God. And it is one of my deepest convictions that the people of God grow most when the character of God is revealed to us. When we dive deep into who He is, not what He does for us or what He gives us with His hands, but who He is at His core, His characteristics, His attributes. So we learn and grow through these things, and we ultimately find this, that He knows best. Let me put it to you this way, and we'll look at Psalm 23 for some of this, but I have maybe two or three really good close friends that I would call my best friends. And, you know, I've gotten really close to a few of these guys, and if one of them barged in the door today and, you know, in a panic and said, you know, Scott, throw me your keys. I need to borrow your car. I need it right now. I don't have time to explain. Please, let me have your car keys. In an instant, I would reach into my pocket and throw them my keys because I know who they are and I know their character. I don't have to have any questions. I don't have to do any follow-up. If they truly needed me in a pinch and they didn't have time to explain, I would simply just go or give them my keys or be present or be there. Not because, you know, what are you going to do with that? Or what's that going to be like? Or how's that going to turn out? Are you going to return my car safely to me? When are you going to get it back to me? But no, go ahead, take care of what you need to take care of. I trust you. I know that you're going to do right by me. So here you go. Have control of one of my, you know, treasured possessions, one of my high value items. Now, it's the same way in our relationship with God. I think the deeper we grow into learning the character of God, the more free we become in submitting to his leadership. That I trust you. Here you go, Lord. Here's the keys to my life. Do what you want. I don't need to ask questions because I know deep in your heart and deep in who you are looking out for my best interests. Not just in time, but for all eternity. So the metaphor starts to break down, right? I mean, we have earthly friends and they will let us down from time to time, but not this good shepherd. He knows best. So we're going to look at this portrait of Jesus as the good shepherd. There are really two main sections or two movements of Psalm 23. We have in the first half, or really the first section, Psalm 23 verses 1 through 4, we have the leadership of the shepherd, the leadership of the Savior. And then we're going to look at verse 5 and 6, and we have the daily care of the shepherd. So we see these kind of two main points in Psalm 23, a very, very short psalm, but a powerful psalm, very rich. Often we hear this quoted in songs, or we see it printed on a coffee mug, or maybe even preached at a funeral. That's appropriate. But there's something that's so deep and rich here about Christ and the gospel for us to learn and grow in. And that is his leadership and his care for us. So, Psalm 23, a portrait of Jesus. Not what he can do for us only, that's included. He leads us, he guides us, he leads us to green pastures, leads us beside still waters, he restores our soul, all these good and beautiful things. But who is this shepherd? Who is he at his heart and at his core? And you'll hear me reference this scripture a lot, not only today, but you've already heard it, because it's one of my absolute favorite verses in all of Scripture, and I think it's an anchor verse for my life. I often find great assurance and comfort in it. Matthew 11, starting at 28, says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and lowly in heart." I am gentle and humble in heart. So we find this verse as a portrait of the character of Christ. It is a supplement verse, if you will, to Psalm 23 as we look at the heart of the shepherd. It's one of the only verses in all the New Testament that Jesus explicitly and directly describes his heart. You want to know who I am? Here's my personality. Here is what makes me tick. Here's what keeps me going. Here's what motivates me. Here's who I am at the core of my heart, of my being. This is his description of that. First, he gives an invitation. Come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest because I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now, I want to recommend something to you if you've not read this. It's actually a book by Dane Ortlund. It's called Gentle and Lowly in Heart. The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And it is a modern book. I often read very old books and few modern books, but this is a modern book that I would recommend that is going to stick around for a long time because it is a beautiful picture of the heart of Christ. So he expounds further on this verse that I just read from Matthew 28 in that book. Come to me, all who are weary. Now, that's the condition to come to Christ. And this is important. The only thing that he lays out for both sinners and saints to come to him. Now, we obviously know that if we come to Christ, we have to come in repentance and faith to begin a relationship with him. But the underlying condition to that is, are you weary? Come to me, all who are weary. And then Christ offers no other explanation. Weary with what? We don't know. Just weary. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you worn out? Are you discouraged? Are you downcast? Are you suffering with anxiety or depression? Whatever the case of your weariness, Christ bids us to come. And he said and promised to us that he will receive us. In fact, if we read further in the New Testament, it says that all who come to me in faith, I will never cast out. that I will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll hold you and I'll keep you. Here's the heart of the shepherd for you. Now, that's the foundation of Psalm 23. Again, this picture of who Christ is, Matthew 18, starting in verse 12, he says, that great story, we all know this, is familiar. He will leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep. And when it is found, he will rejoice over it. Like the prodigal son, right? The father throws a party, a banquet. Kill the best calf we have and get out the best drink and invite the friends and family over because he was lost, he's now found, he was dead, he's now alive. And I'm going to throw a party, and the elder son kind of gets disgruntled and sort of bitter about this. Well, I've always been with you. Father, why not throw the party for me? He says, listen, you don't understand. This was a wayward son. This was one lost and broken in sin's destruction. He has come home. And heaven stops all things to sort of gather the angels together. Look, one of my sons and daughters have come home. Rejoice with me over this lost sheep who is no longer lost but now found. This is the character of Christ. This is why it's so important for us to be missionary people, motivated people, people who are responding to others not with hatred or bitterness or if they look different or act different than us or if they've gone to church or if they haven't. None of that matters. We are to be people who represent the heart of our shepherd. Do we live our lives in such a way that says, come to us if you're weary and we will help lead you to this shepherd. He will provide rest for you. And we see this also, many, many examples, and I'll just give you one more from the New Testament. Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem as he looks out over the city. Maybe in prayer, in solitude, a moment with the Father, he looks out over Jerusalem and he begins to weep and break down. Because, and we get the answer of why this is happening to Jesus, he desires to lead them, but they will not follow him. They have rejected him. They have scorned him. Ultimately, they will hand him over to be crucified and to give his life. So he weeps over them, and he gives this description of his emotion and of his heart, that how many times I would have, but you did not. How many times I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not rest. You would not stop fighting. You would not stop kicking. I pull and I prod and I try to woo you with my love, yet you reject and refuse and push back against it. And it causes Christ not to get angry or to condemn you or to lash out with wrath, but to break down and weep. Here is the picture, the portrait of Jesus in Psalm 23. First, let's look at the leadership of the shepherd. Now, this is so beautiful. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. David writing this psalm, very poetic. We know that much of the psalms come from the hand of David as he's in prayer, as he's in worship, as he's fleeing from an enemy. He's expressing his emotion, his heart. And here we have a beautiful picture of his God as he sees him at this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I want to say this first, good leaders are easy to follow. Right? You may have encountered this on a job with a supervisor or at a church with a pastor, with some kind of leadership. Often leadership can be either corrupted and become very dangerous, or it can be set right and be very healthy and a very good thing for us. But good leaders are easy to follow. Bad leaders, it's hard, right? Maybe you've had a supervisor that's particularly difficult and you have to submit to their leadership and their authority and you're kicking against it every step of the way. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. But for kind, humble, gentle servant leaders who will, at the night of his arrest, get a bowl of water out and get on his knees and wash their feet. And he says, you have part with me. This is the kind of leader you want to submit to, right? This is the kind of leader you want to follow. One that will not say, this is what needs to be done. Now go do it. And I'm going to get in my ivory tower over here. No, this leader actually left his high-rise apartment. He left all the glory and riches of heaven. In fact, he was the glory and riches of heaven. When he left, it was vacated. He came to earth. He wrapped himself in human flesh, and he knelt down to wash your feet. Good leaders are easy to follow, and Christ is a good leader. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, is how he begins this psalm. In Eastern Kentucky, I had a dear older saint ask me a question about this one day. We were going through Psalm 23, and it was a Bible study, she kind of raised her hand. Older saint, I mean, just a beautiful soul. And she asked this direct and very plain question. She said, "Pastor Scott, I don't understand. I read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, as other translations will put it." She says, "But I do want. So why do I want?" She just is expressing, I think, what we all feel at times when we read Scripture. Well, this is true here, but it's not something that has been made a reality in my heart. There's still some desire or some want here that Christ maybe isn't fulfilling, or maybe I'm discontent in my faith. And I don't know if she was saying that necessarily, but she was just expressing a very normal human thought. Well, if Christ is all, then why do I still have a desire for other things of this world? There's still want in my heart. How do I get rid of it? That was essentially her question. And that's a very good question. I think the answer is, look into the heart of your shepherd. Because the more you sit at his feet and you learn his character, the more you relinquish control of your own life and the more you submit to his leadership. Now, we'll have wants. We'll have superficial wants. You know, I want a new car, a new truck. Maybe we'll start a pastor fund for a new truck. I can pray for that, but I don't know if tomorrow morning it'll be sitting in my driveway. I have wants in this world, but deep in my soul and deep in my heart, because I know Christ, I'm content. I've learned to be content. I've grown in contentment. Whatever trial or case or situation arises, it is this very knowledge and deep experience with Christ that will anchor me. That when the winds come and the rains come and things get hard, that I'm able to look at the heart of Christ, not at the external situation, and say, "My shepherd is good. I'll stay right here." Where else could I go, the disciples say, seeing as that you have the words of eternal life? I have no place to turn. And oftentimes we have a plan B. Some people enter a relationship with Christ with a plan B, and ultimately it fails, or was never really rooted in him from the first place. We are people with no plan B. Our only answer is Jesus. Our only resource, our only healer, our only remedy is in Christ. This is the heart of the Good Shepherd for you. He does things like, verse 2, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us in and out of green pastures. He leads us beside still waters or quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So here we have a description of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's some of the things that he does. Again, the Lord does lead me and guide me and refresh my soul. And as a result of that, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because I have seen the shepherd, because I have heard the shepherd, because I've spent time with the shepherd, because I've been taken care of by the shepherd for many years, therefore I will not fear though I face the darkest trial or the darkest valley. And we could have a question there, right? Well, why do we fear sometimes? Because we still do, if we're honest. Well, it is all about growing in this satisfaction and contentment with Christ. The more we spend time with him, the more we commune with him, the more we're around his people, the more we read his word, the more time we spend in prayer, the more we are anchoring ourselves to the heart of the shepherd. And we are united to him in faith. And his characteristics will shine through us and will anchor us through all of life's storms. This is how Psalm 23 works. The Lord is, he does lead me and guide me. Therefore, I will not fear because he is with me. His rod and staff, they comfort me. Look at verse 5. We move now. That's the leadership of the shepherd. He leads us. He guides us to green pastures, to quiet waters. Don't we need that in this world full of social media and the news headlines and our own personal problems and financial trouble and marital problems? The world is so loud and so crazy and so busy that it is a hard thing to just steal away and get a moment of quiet. And oftentimes, I don't think we're very good at it. I think a lot of times we sit still before the Lord and it takes about 60 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, and everything bombards our thoughts. You could be doing this. There's a task to be done. And we've sort of transformed our Christianity into tasks. If I do this and do that, and then Jesus will respond this way. And all the while, he's inviting you to just sit. Just come and be still. Come and rest. Come and find refreshment for your soul, and then go out into the dark valleys, and you will not fear. I will be with you. Oftentimes, we rush headlong into the dark valleys without sitting still before him, and our souls are full of anxiety. Because we're so trapped in our own thoughts and in our own ways, and we are not submitting to the leadership of the shepherd and how he has prescribed rest for our souls. Now we move to the care of the shepherd. Last two verses of Psalm 23, 5 and 6. It says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's a pretty remarkable verse. This is the care of the shepherd for you on a daily basis. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Speaking of his provision, his abundance, his hospitality. That he asks you to come and sup with him, eat with him, drink with him, be with him. I've prepared this for you. There is safety here. Come on in. I've got a seat at the table with your name on it. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I will provide for you every step of the way. There's a great scene. If you've watched any of the Narnia movies, the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or you've read the books, there's a great scene there that is laid out even better in the books than it is in the movie. But there's a scene of during the time the children wander into the world through the wardrobe and they go into Narnia. There they're preparing for the battle with the White Witch. And Aslan is on the move, the great lion, who is, in that story, the Christ figure. And the ground is starting to unthaw and the flowers are starting to bloom. The reign of the White Witch is approaching its end. And the people are gathering, and there's one scene where the beaver and the animals and all the people are gathering at a table and they're feasting. And the White Witch comes by and gets angry at their feasting because she sees their feast as a declaration, as a response to her that we can now feast because Aslan is present. Even if we are at war, in the presence of our enemies, he has prepared a table for us, and we will feast as a way to wage war with the darkness and evil in the world. That is what the Lord's Supper is. It is a reminder all the time that we will feast with Christ. Here and now we have a sample, we have a glimpse of it, but he is coming one day to be King of kings and Lord of lords, and we will feast in the house of Zion forever and ever to its fullest capacity. We will not be hindered by our own weakness or our own sins or our own backsliding seasons, but Christ will be with us. Here's the Good Shepherd saying, "I'm coming. I love you. You're going to wage war a bit. You're going to go through this life. You're going to face sorrow. You're going to get sick. But don't forget to feast. In the presence of your enemies, feast. Because I'm still on the move. The footprints of the lion can still be heard in the distance somewhere. Aslan, Christ is on the move. Always in our life, at every moment." This is the beauty of his daily care for us. Provision, abundance, hospitality, safety. And then he anoints our head with oil. Verse 5. We've got a picture we can throw up there. All right. You may have seen this picture before. This is a great sort of example and illustration of what is done to the sheep. So the shepherd will pour oil over the sheep's head and often over the nose of the sheep. Now there's a few reasons for this. And this sort of highlights the daily care. This happens every day. This highlights the daily care for the people of God in a spiritual sense. So let me give you three reasons why they anoint the sheep or pour oil over the sheep to keep them safe and to protect them. First one is bugs. The second one is they like to butt their heads with each other. Does that not describe the church sometimes? We like to sort of butt heads and disagree at times. And also helps with cuts, injuries, and wounds. Let me throw this issue of the bugs at you. It's pretty gross, but I think it's helpful. So let me read it because I can't describe it good enough. Sheep are particularly susceptible to flies landing on their nose. These flies travel up the sheep's nose and lay eggs which turn into worms that can burrow into the animal's brain. Then the sheep will bang their heads relentlessly, trying to get rid of the pain and the irritation. They can die from this, of course. So each day the shepherd pours oil on the sheep's nose and the flies slide out instead of flying in. Pretty remarkable, right? Here is the anointing of Christ daily in your life, is that he prevents some parasite from burrowing into your brain and changing your worldview and your thoughts, the posture of your heart. Here he keeps you safe from disease, spiritual disease and cancers that would rid you of your faith, that would make shipwreck of it, that would lead you to destruction. Here the good shepherd says, listen, I know at times you have a tendency to just bang your head against the wall or against the fence, but come to me, and let me help you. And he sometimes have to forcefully grab and anoint with oil. There's times in our life he has to grip a hold of us and say, how long has it been since you've locked yourself in a prayer closet? Come here, you need it. How long has it been that you've sat with the scripture for a good while and you've let it marinate your heart and your soul and change your perspective? You need it. Come over here. I've got something for you, because you're letting things get in that's being destructive towards you and your walk. Oil helps the heads when they bang against each other. They help glide off of one another instead of being so forceful and painful in impact. And I mean, need I say more? That we oftentimes in the church sort of bang our heads against each other. We disagree. Thankfully, I've seen a very good trend here at this church where we can disagree in love, and that is a healthy thing. It is a beautiful thing. But the church at large in general, we have this fight. We disagree. And sometimes it's deadly and it's destructive, and we bang our heads against one another, and the world's watching us saying, man, there's no unity there. There's no love. How can I join that? I can find a better community down at the local bar. Like, they can't even get along. And Christ is saying, come to me, I'll help you. You can disagree where it's not so painful. And then it helps with cuts and wounds and injuries, because the shepherd will daily inspect the sheep and also add oil and medication to those wounds that have been opened, because the sheep like to wander off and get into all sorts of things throughout. Even the greenest field or meadow has some dangers to it, some fences they like to go under, or some posts they like to find, or something that would affect them and cause them cuts and injury. So the shepherd daily inspects them and pours oil in their wounds to say, it's okay, you're going to heal from this. And this is the good shepherd for us. Because the Lord prepares a table and he anoints our head, therefore, look at verse 6. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because the Lord is who he is, this is what the psalmist is saying. He is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me to green pastures. He refreshes my soul. Therefore, I will not fear. The Lord anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Therefore, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Doesn't mean that life for the sheep won't be hard sometimes. In fact, sometimes a decision for Christ means an amp up in the persecution or trials in your life. But the shepherd is worth it. That's the key here. He is that good, that joyful, that beautiful, that much of a treasure that it demands all of your affection, all of your loyalty, all of your surrender and submission and yielding, saying, shepherd, you are good. I trust in you. Here's the keys to my life. I don't need to ask questions. You know what's best. Take care of what you need to take care of. And I'll be right here, resting in your presence. Let me close with this. This is from this book. If you haven't read it, please read it, Gentle and Lowly. He says this: we cannot present a reason for Christ to finally close off his heart to his own sheep. It won't happen. Think of a reason. Will Christ ever stop loving you? Will he close off his heart to you? Come up with the darkest secret sin of your past. Throw it at me. It falls like nothing. Shatters into a billion pieces. Christ's love swallows it up. We cannot present a reason for Christ to finally close off his heart to us. No such reason exists. Hear me. Every human friend has a limit. If we offend enough, if a relationship gets damaged enough, if we betray enough times, we are cast out. In fact, we do this to others. This is how human beings work in their relationships, unlike the shepherd. We put up walls, he says, the walls go up. With Christ the shepherd, our sins and weaknesses are the very resume items that qualify us to approach him. You see the difference? It is our weariness and our weakness and in fact our deepest sin that qualify us to become sheep of his pasture. I mean, he leaves the safety of the 99 and he searches for the one who has got themselves into a mess, who's kicking against him, not wanting to follow him, and just gentle and lowly and patient and long-suffering, Christ works with them and leads them back to himself. This is amazing. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 reads this, and this is from the Message Bible. I love the way it translates this, and we'll close in prayer. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, the Good Shepherd says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30, the Message translation. This is the Good Shepherd for you. This is the Shepherd of Psalm 23, the shepherd of David in the field. He's your God, your Redeemer, your friend. What are you facing? What area of your life have you yet to yield to the control and leadership of the shepherd? Maybe there's some areas you have. I've given him my marriage. I've given him my children. I've given him certain pieces of my heart and life, but there are certain sections of my heart and deep in my soul that I keep closed off and I have yet to open to him. And you know it. You know what it is. If you can reflect on that, you know there's some area or perhaps multiple areas of your heart and your life that have a practical outworking in your life that you have yet to give to the leadership of the shepherd. What is it? Or what are those things? So today I'm challenging you, and I want to say this. They're going to sing here in just a moment. And as they sing, I want to respond to what Jesus, the shepherd, is saying to us today. He's ultimately asking you, will you come and be closer to me? Because you can get closer. I think there's a great myth in sort of church that we get saved and satisfied and we sit down on a church seat for the next 50 to 60 years. But the call is, there's always room to grow. There's always more to see of the shepherd, more of his heart to explore that will motivate you, that will give you more passion, that will grow your faith. So I want to ask you to respond in two ways. And this is a little bit to push you out of a comfort zone, because as sheep and lambs, we get very comfortable in one certain meadow. It's comfortable. We've gotten used to it. We get used to rhythms. We get used to structure and transitions, but the Good Shepherd is saying, will you respond to me today a little differently and give me that one area of your heart that needs to be surrendered? So I would ask you as they sing to come, if you're willing, if you sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, spend just a few seconds as they start the song in reflection and pray, Jesus, what is it that I need to surrender to you? And I want you to come. There's some cards up here. We've done this once before with prayer requests. But there's some index cards and there's some pens here. And I want to just open the front. I want to open the front or the altar and have you just come and write down something after the Lord reveals it to you. What is that one thing that I need to surrender to the leadership of the shepherd that I'm not finding rest in? I'm still anxious. I'm still weary and I need rest here. What is it? Would you surrender that to him today? Would you take a step of faith and say, yeah, I'll come. I'll write that down. And you don't need to give it to me. You don't need to keep it here. That's very personal between you and God. And I want you to just hold on to it. Put it in your Bible or keep it with you throughout the week, wherever you're going to see it. And I just want you to, when you see it, pray on that for just a minute. Just pray on it. Lord, here's this thing again. It's a reminder. I need to give it to you. That's what I want. So I want you to come write down something after the Lord shows you that. And then, don't go directly to your seat, but spend a moment just in prayer up front or in worship. Whatever's comfortable for you. I know we have some hand raisers. You're free to raise your hands. You're free to kneel. You're free to pray for one another at this time and let the Holy Spirit lead us in this moment. Can we do that? All right, let me pray for us and they'll sing. Lord, good shepherd, shepherd of David, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God of Florence Alliance Church, right here, right now, in 2024, you see your people. You see them. You know them better than they know themselves. You know their hearts. You know the intricacies of their hearts and how it connects. You see where we're at in our faith journey. All of us at a different point. Some of us may be more content than others. Some of us discontent. Some of us questions and fears and doubts. Some of us are still skeptics. Whatever the case may be, you bid your people to come and rest. So right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal the heart of the shepherd as I've tried to preach it. Reveal it and make it alive in their hearts that they're able to respond and submit to the leadership of the shepherd. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Spend a moment and would you come as they sing.